Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Schemings would be another word for wiles. Schemings of the devil. And years ago, before we had come up the first time we came, back in 82, I was beginning to learn more of the schemings of the devil. We'd been saved a couple years by that point. And a lot of word began to realize the devil was real. And he was up to stuff. I'd learned that he was the god of the world system. And I had learned that he was an adversary. And his purpose was always to hinder the will of God from being done in your life. Or the will of God from being done in a community, or for the will of God to be not to hinder the will of God from being done in a church fellowship. And that one of his strongest weapons, schemes, is to remain anonymous. Fake like he's not around. Keep people ignorant of his existence. However, it's impossible to believe that God is there, exists, is real, and not know the devil's real too. It's the fool who says in his heart there is no God. And that same fool who says there is no God is the same fool who says there is no devil. And that causes great difficulty for any person in their life. Because the devil's scheme and plan in the end is death, always was. So God, who says, I'm going to put an end to death, God calls death an enemy. And that's part of what the overall plan of salvation that God has, the wrap-up, when he finally puts that last enemy, death, under his feet and our feet, that death no longer exists because he's against that. Now, everything that happens, sickness, disease, torment, worry, all of that kind of stuff, unforgiveness, is all there and designed to cause death to be in the process. It all leads to one end result. Now, death, by Bible definition, simply means separation. No one actually dies and ceases to exist. They separate spirit and soul from their body, and they end up in one of two places. You're either with the Lord, heaven, or you're in hell. Separated from God in total darkness forever. That means you're separated from life. So everything that transpires that the enemy tries to bring about in the world system is designed to perpetuate death. Sickness is only death in progress. Can you see that? Now, Paul makes no pretense here that you and I may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And as I was learning this years ago, I heard this voice. And it was the voice of the devil. And he said, it's not too good to learn anything about the devil. And I almost bought it. Except the Spirit of God brought up like 5 scriptures. And I said, uh-uh. This was one of them. Corinthians, we're not to be ignorant of the schemes of the devil. Second Corinthians chapter 10. Now, he didn't give me chapter and verse. He just gave me the scriptures. Brought them up. Okay? And then I realized this was a lie. I've ministered in churches over the years where I have ministered along this line, and I've said that anything that kills, steals, or destroys from the enemy. Now, the enemy has come in and tried to cause us to believe or think that he's behind, that God is behind your trial, your tribulation, your problems. Well, you know, does God really want that loved one saved or not? And he has craftily gotten a lot of the church to believe this. Oh, God didn't really do it, but he allowed it. No. That's the same thing as saying he did it. And I use the example of the guy that goes and gets a hitman to kill somebody and pays them or allows it. Well, when they come and get him, the guy who paid the other guy goes to jail too, because it's the same as if he had done it. So this idea of allowing, well then, what is the situation? Ephesians says, give no place to the devil. Us. Amen? Now, prayerlessness will always give place to the devil. That's a given. No prayer, enemy will just read the riot act over you in almost everything. And there's reasons we've gone over why Christians don't pray and different things like that and the whole thing. Well, first of all, number one, you have got to want to. I always tell everybody, if you think you have to pray, don't. Because you'll never get it done anyway. Grace is, I want to. Law is, I have to. See, our prayer is not earning anything from God. It's not earning grace. It's not earning salvation. It's not earning anything. Why? It's not earning our righteousness. Why? Somebody tell me why. Because righteousness is a gift, and you can't earn a gift. You can't buy a gift. Amen? This is important. Now, in let me talk about warfare a second. Our weapons are not carnal, but mighty. Okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 3 through 6. We battle not against flesh and blood. So, warfare is from the Greek word stratos, which is strategy. So, what is one of the aspects of praying that we must learn and be involved in? Get the strategy from God in order to defeat the wile, the scheme of the enemy. The nation of Israel, Old Testament types and shadows, never defeated their enemy until they inquired of the Lord. Anytime they did not inquire of the Lord, the enemy defeated them. So, you have a situation comes up in your life and it's negative. It's not according to the will of God. It's a problem you're dealing with. One of the most important things you do is you pray until you receive the strategy to win the warfare. And it may be as simple as, this is what spirit it is. Take authority in the name of Jesus. It's done. But you got to know. Amen? Got to have the wisdom for it. So, it's important to understand the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty to tearing down the strongholds. That warfare is receiving that strategy. So we have to spend time to hear from God. Hearing is the most important thing. Amen? I've said this before. 75% of all prayer is listening. 25% is talking. Amen? Now, one of the things the Lord wants us to do is He wants us to attack. He doesn't want us to wait around. He wants us to attack the enemy. It isn't fighting off the devil. It's us, okay, with the full armor of God, the sword of the Spirit, instructions from the Most High God to attack. Say, keep the enemy on the run. Too much of the time, the enemy's kept the church on the run. This is not the will of God. Amen? Now, I want to talk just a couple more minutes about this idea of the wiles, the schemes. Because I believe the Lord wants us to know exactly how the enemy operates in any possible way that he can. And it's all in the Word of God. There's nothing that the enemy can do that's outside of this Word. He's confined to the spiritual laws that are in this Word. He just takes those spiritual laws, causes man to use them against him. Against themselves. How many see that? Word says you can have what you say. How many agree? Enemy comes in, gets you to say something you don't really want. But guess what? You got it. Oh no, it's a recession. I believe I'm going to get laid off. You just gave the enemy permission to get you laid off. And how'd he do it? He caused you to use the spiritual law that God wants us to use on our behalf and on the behalf of everyone around us, but he caused you to use that same spiritual law to cost you your job. I may see that. Happens all the time. I am absolutely convinced the condition of the world today is a direct result of all the words spoken. We all need to enter into a covenant. And the covenant is, you have the right to say to someone when they're talking, do you really want what you just said? I'll agree with you and not get all up and upset and everything and all about it and understand that that's being done in love. Because we all can get trapped, innocent conversation. And all we're talking about in that innocent conversation is what the devil's doing. How about what God's doing? Amen? Are you hearing me? I've got about like 40 hours of teaching in this book. So you're not going to get it all tonight. A stronghold is a fortress or a prison. Holds things in, won't let things out. Priscilla and I, we notice this sometimes with local churches. There's a stronghold of the enemy erected there. It doesn't let people out, doesn't let people in. Just stays the same. That's the enemy. That's not God saying, oh, he has everyone here that he wants. You know the will of God is? This room to be filled like tonight, getting this teaching. What do we do? Ready? Watch this. You know, every time I call for a prayer meeting, this is pastors talking. Their words have more authority, but they also have more authority to go against. Every time I call a prayer meeting, four people show up. What just happened? They limited the prayer meeting to four people. How many of you have heard that? Church of 500, they call a prayer meeting. 12 people show up. Why do you think 12 people showed up? That's what they've been saying. Nobody shows up. What are they getting? What they said. Can you see that? Anybody? Yeah. How about this? Every time I schedule a night of prayer, everybody shows up. Glory to God. The room is full. Well, what if it doesn't fill up? So what? Okay? But I keep doing that, it'll fill up. But one thing's for sure, if I keep saying nobody will show up, it'll never change. Now, why is the prayer important? Because you must, in prayer, hear what God is telling you to say. You understand? You've got to hear Him. And when He says to you, say this, how many know that faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word, the Rhema Word? When He tells you, faith is born. And nobody's going to convince you otherwise. Well, I don't hear God. Well, let's work on that then. First, stop saying that. I have ears to hear what the Spirit says. We'll solve that problem in 30 seconds. I have a roll of duct tape. Goes right here. And until you're ready to say only what the Spirit tells you, keep it on. When you know, rip it off. I didn't put the duct tape on, but it was when I did that, it was 3 days before He gave me permission to say a word. There was like 80 times I thought what I thought had to be said. But no. Why is this important? Because our words in prayer are crucial. What we say. I've been in prayer meetings. Half hour goes by, and the devil's glorified, and God's not. Well, how's that happen? Keep telling God what you think He doesn't know. Everything devil's doing. You know, we're interceding for the city. Lord, you know there's drug activity over in such and such a section. And you know down at the park, there's this drug drop off there and they're doing drugs. And over here is this pornography place, Lord. And all Come on. He don't know that? Hallelujah. Enough of that. Now, the wiles, okay, is, well, let's put it this way. The mind is the first place where the spiritual warfare takes place before anything happens out there where you're doing the battle. The first place is the mind. There's where the spiritual battle is going on. The enemy wants to capture our minds. He wants us to think. He wants us to believe the lie. The moment he gets you to believe the lie, he's made an inroad. And that's what the wiles is. It's the devil trying to make an inroad into you so that you believe the lie and he gets a handle on you. See? Some of the blatant things are, you know, healing's not for today. Tongues passed away with the early church. It gets more subtle than that, where we need to understand that the schemings and the wiles of the devil that Paul's talking about right here that we can stand against is the devil's effort to build a road so he can have a information highway directly to our mind and our heart. That's his plan. How do the people, and why do they make the decisions in the world they make? How is it that you and I see so clearly the beauty of the gospel? And all your sins are forgiven, and you have people in your own family who are fighting you over this. And you say, what is the deal here? Why? It's a spiritual warfare. And it isn't going to change no matter how logical you get with them, no matter how much you talk to them. It's going to change because you pray. That's what is going to change it. That you pray. And God gives you a strategy in prayer. And that you're praying the Word of God over them. That you're praying the Word that God gives you for them. There's way, way too many families that have been tormented for years with their children who are unsaved, with the people in their family. And it's like, how long? Not very, if you get the strategy. And you understand, you are not, that person is not who you're dealing with. You are dealing with a devil behind it. How else, God calls us to destroy the works of the devil. How else will you do that if you're not aware? Amen? Look at 18th verse. Praying always, with all prayer and supplication, in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. For who? Is your wife a saint? You pray for her? Your husband a saint? You pray for him? Is your pastor a saint? Do you pray for him or her? Your wife's a saint? Pray for her? Gee, I don't understand it. My marriage is under attack. Listen, if your marriage is under attack, hopefully it's under attack because you are really out there pushing the gospel. I mean, you're just a ministering fool. Man, the devil can't shut you up. You're witnessing to everybody that you can possibly witness to. Hopefully, the marriage is not under attack because of prayerlessness. Amen. That every day you take a minute. Lindsay takes a minute and she says, "Thank you, Lord, for Phil. Well, you have no idea what he just did yesterday. It doesn't matter. Thank you, Lord, for Phil." You understand the knockout dragout we just had yesterday. Doesn't matter. Thank you, Lord, for Lindsay. See? I hear parents, Christian parents, complain all the time about their children. What I don't hear is, "Lord, thank you for my children. They're a blessing to me." Well, I don't see where they're a blessing to me. Doesn't matter whether you see it or not. They're a blessing to you. Amen? Amen? Devil don't like that because you're not reacting according to how his scheme is set. You're supposed to be bad-mouthing him. Now, one thing we didn't tell you, I'm going to tell you right now, in the van. What were they doing, Phil? Grumbling, complaining, talking against other brothers and sisters in the Lord, talking against the ministry. And I had been praying, and the Lord said to me, "I'll show you the right time." And as soon as they had got into that a ways, okay, now, I knew Phil picked up on it. No one else in there knew. And the Lord said to me, "Now." And that's when I said, "Excuse me. Are these people that you're talking about brothers and sisters in the Lord?" "Well, yeah." I said, "Well, we need to pray right now. Bless them." Because I didn't say this. It came to my mind. I held that back. I was about ready to say, because it sounds like to me they're your enemies. But yes. And then just started praying. And in the midst of that, the girl prays and asked God to forgive her for what she had just been doing. Now, I didn't say anything about it. And I'm here to tell you this. There are times where you just need to say nothing and start praying. No matter who's around. That's the strongest thing you can do. The most powerful thing you can do. Amen? You have a relative come in who's giving you a hard time. See, Eric and I, we're related. We're in the body of Christ. He's a brother in the Lord. So Eric kind of gets off. He's irritated. I grab his hand. "Father, in the name of Jesus." And you pray. You bold enough to do that? If not, we need a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit because that's where the boldness comes from. Amen. It is absolutely mandatory that the prayer army come together and rise up, get the job done. Amen? Yeah, the flesh will fight you, and you want to go do this, and you don't have time to do this, and my schedule is this, and all of that. The moment that you get the revelation, okay, that you get that revelation that says prayer is the most powerful thing I can do. It's more powerful than money. It's more powerful than any authority. And I've said this before in the past when Mary, they call her Bloody Mary, who was the Queen of England, who was responsible for England conquering countries and made England the most powerful country in the world at the time, made this statement: I fear the prayers of John Knox more than any army in the world. Because she knew that if he kept praying for Scotland, they weren't going to have control of it because God was going to see to it. And that's what happened. Does prayer change things? Now, once you come up with the second revelation, and if the body of Christ got a hold of this, to understand there's not one single thing that's the will of God that gets done in this earth without prayer. Well, God does what he wants to do. What do you mean by that statement? What do you mean he does what he wants to do? You mean I could just be hanging around and God will just decide one day? No. He's given us a whole book full of his will. And it's more than that. This is Jesus. This is Jesus. Word became flesh. Amen? And if you don't pray the will of God, it won't happen. No matter how much that God wants that to happen. Why? Because he gave us dominion. And he never breaks his word. Amen? Well, I'm just wondering, I'm waiting, I've been waiting for God to do this and that. I've been waiting for my sister, my brother, my mother, my father, my children to receive Jesus and all that. What have you been waiting on? I remember the morning God spoke to me years ago, and he said, you've been waiting on me, but I'm waiting on you. And I went, what do you mean? And he started showing me all that, what he was waiting on. Not for us to run out and figure out a bunch of good works. I'm waiting on you to believe and pray. Believe and understand. Believe and speak. Amen? Now, every negative thing that happens in Richland Township, everything that goes on that is not the will of God, there is a devil behind it. Everything in your family, in your life. And God is just eager. Remember what Jesus said? Watch and pray. Watch and pray. What are we watching? We're watching what the Father is doing. We're watching what the enemy is doing. Amen. How many see that? Which means this. When we enter into prayer, you follow the leading of the Spirit. He doesn't talk to you in your head. The Holy Spirit talks to you inside, in here. A thought comes to your mind. Don't trust it. Because the enemy can put thoughts. They could put it in the first person. He doesn't say, Eric, you're a wretch. No, he goes, I'm a wretch. Puts it in your mind. What?
I had a devil talking to me saying, you are this and you are that. You know, instead of saying, I.
Yeah. You know, he'll try it. They'll try anything.
I mean, that sucks, you know.
Yeah, but the you tips it off, doesn't it?
How stupid.
And he is. What fool goes around thinking he can defeat God? And he still thinks he can win. I've shared this several times before when I saw the lightning bolt and the Spirit said, see that lightning bolt? And I remember the scripture when Jesus said, I saw Satan cast out of heaven like lightning. And then he said to me, that's how long the war lasted in heaven. The time it takes for a bolt of lightning to hit the ground. What's that, half a second? Because it did say in scripture it was war in heaven. That Lucifer declared war on God. See, this is the last verse, and this to understand this, especially when you're interceding for unsaved. Look at Ephesians 5, verse 17. No, 4:17. I'm sorry. Ephesians 4:17. This I say, therefore. And testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the Gentiles walk. So, what's a Gentile? Someone who doesn't have a covenant with God. Now, keep your finger there and go over to Ephesians 2. And look at verse 2 of Ephesians 2. In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. So every person that's in the world, every person that's unsaved, they're walking according to the spirit of disobedience. They're walking according to the devil's direction. They're under the authority of the devil. They don't know it. And he goes as far as to say that spirit works in them to cause that. Now he goes back over to Ephesians 4. And he says that you should no longer walk as the Gentiles walk. He just described one aspect of how they walk, right? Now he's talking to Christians, saved, born again, baptized in the Holy Spirit, Christians. And he says, don't walk as the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind. What does that mean? Waste, empty. The mind just runs off, does whatever it wants, not understanding. We have authority over our mind. We can tell it what to think on and what not to think. Amen? That our soul, which our mind is part of, is to be subject to us. Mind, will, and emotions. Amen? Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them and because of the blindness of their heart. Now, prayer, we're dealing with this. We're dealing with those that we call backslidden, the ones that leave and they're out there on their own. We're dealing with the enemy. But that blindness of their heart is a spirit of blindness that the enemy is able to put over them. God of this world blinds people from the gospel. Many, many times when the Lord spoke to me, we were praying for somebody's salvation, the Lord speaks to me and said, take authority over spirit of blindness now. I take authority over the spirit of blindness. Come off that person now. Very shortly after their call and how they received Jesus. Strategy. Amen? How many tonight, remember last time I said make a list. People. Okay? How many have, not including Richard and his wife, because you weren't here. How many have a list? Amen. A list that the Lord gave you. Okay? Tonight, we want to get on that list. Amen? Take some time with that. And allow the Spirit of God to show you if on any one of those lists what you need to do. Amen? Now, sometimes it's just, I've had occasion where it was pray in the Spirit, in tongues, 5 minutes a day for that person. I've had occasions in the past where ministry was concerned, and the Lord had me pray. I had to pray until you're done. I prayed 5 hours for a ministry for several times. And my only thought of that was, boy, they must have something going on. It's not good. So, the no set amount of time. There's only when you know. Okay? You're released and you know that whatever it is done. Amen? Okay, Phil? You're going to lead us in prayer. Ready?
Ready.
You're always ready, right?